Chapter 21. A mad flapping of wings broke the early morning stillness as two pheasants broke toward the sky. Soviet President Georgi Antonov snapped the over-and-under Purdy shotgun to his shoulder and pulled the two triggers in quick succession. The twin blasts echoed through the mist-dampened forest. One of the birds suddenly stopped flying and fell to the ground. Vladimir Polevoy, head of the Committee for State Security, waited an instant until he was sure Antonov had missed the second pheasant before he brought it down with one shot. Antonov fixed his KGB director with a hard-eyed stare. "Showing up your boss again, Vladimir?" Polevoy read Antonov's mock anger correctly. "Your shot was difficult, Comrade President. Mine was quite easy." "You should have joined the Foreign Ministry instead of the secret police," Antonov said, laughing. "Your diplomacy ranks with Gromyko's." He paused and looked around the forest. "Where is our French host?" "President Lestrange is 70 meters to our left." Polevoy's statement was punctuated by a volley of gunshots somewhere out of sight beyond the undergrowth. "Good," grunted Antonov. "We can have a few minutes of conversation." He held out the Purdy to Polevoy, who replaced the empty shells and clicked the safety switch. Polevoy moved in close and spoke in a low tone. "I would caution about speaking too freely. French intelligence has listening probes everywhere." "Secrets seldom last long these days," Antonov said with a sigh. Polevoy cracked a knowing smile. "Yes, our operatives recorded the meeting between Lestrange and his finance minister last night." "Any revelations I should know about?" "Nothing of value. Most of their conversation centered on persuading you to accept the American president's financial assistance program." "If they're stupid enough to believe I would not take advantage of the president's naive generosity, they're also stupid enough to think I agreed to fly here to discuss it." "Rest assured, the French are completely unaware of the true nature of your visit." "Any late word from New York?" "Only that Huckleberry Finn exceeded our projections." Polevoy's Russian tongue pronounced Huckleberry as Guckleberry. "And all goes well?" "The trip is underway." "So the old bitch accomplished what we thought was impossible." "The mystery is how she managed it." Antonov stared at him. "We don't know?" "No, sir. She refused to take us into her confidence. Her son shielded her operation like the Kremlin wall. So far we haven't been able to penetrate her security." "The Chinese whore," Antonov snarled. "Who does she think she's dealing with, empty-headed schoolboys?" "I believe her ancestry is Korean," said Polevoy. "No difference." Antonov stopped and sat down heavily on a fallen log. "Where is the experiment taking place?" Polevoy shook his head. "We don't know that either." "Have you no communication with Comrade Lugovoy?" "He and his staff departed Lower Manhattan Island on the Staten Island ferry late Friday night. They never stepped ashore at the landing. We lost all contact." "I want to know where they are," Antonov said evenly. "I want to know the exact location of the experiment." "I have our best agents working on it." "We can't allow her to keep us wandering in the dark, especially when there is $1 billion worth of our gold reserves at stake." Polevoy gave the Communist Party chairman a crafty look. "Do you intend to pay her fee?" "Does the Volga melt in January?" Antonov replied with a broad grin. "She won't be an easy prey to outfox." The sound of feet tramping through the underbrush could be heard. Antonov's eyes flickered to the groundkeepers who were approaching with the downed pheasants and then back to Polevoy. "Just find Lugovoy," he said softly, "and the rest will take care of itself." 4 miles away in a sound truck, two men sat in front of a sophisticated microwave receiving set. Beside them, two reel-to-reel tape decks were recording Antonov and Polevoy's conversation in the woods. The men were electronic surveillance specialists with the SDECE, France's intelligence service. Both could interpret 6 languages, including Russian. In unison, they lifted their earphones and exchanged curious looks. "What in hell do you suppose that was all about?" said one. The second man gave a Gallic shrug. "Who can say? Probably some kind of Russian double-talk. I wonder if an analyst can make anything important out of it." Important or not, we'll never know. The first man paused, held an earphone to his ear for a few moments, and then set it down again. They're talking with President Lestrange now. That's all we're going to get. Okay, let's close down shop and get the recordings to Paris. I've got a date at 6 o'clock.